Good evening. You are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Julian Yap, Bahi Yusuf and Ian McNally. And today is the next edition of our episodes that we like to call Movie Snacks, where we bring you trailers, news, just things that we find interesting around movie land. And we're starting off with the Cannes Film Festival. Guys, what did you think?
Well, first off the bat, it's great to hear Bong Joon-ho's Parasite won the Palme d'Or. If you have heard that name before, it's probably from 2006 The Host, 2013's Snowpiercer, or 2017's Okja.
Yeah, and I think he's a very interesting director in that he tends to not only, but he tends to do really well in this black comedy horror thing.
He's hard to pin down.
And I think that's what a lot of people like about him.
In my brain, Bong Joon-ho is just Korea's Guillermo del Toro. He takes risks and he goes wild and he plays with a lot of societal things in that, because you can mix fantasy and drama at the same time. Yeah. And I was so excited when I watched a trailer for Parasite because it brings back just memories of watching The Host for the first time,
yeah,
which was insane. He did wildly different things with Okja and Snowpiercer, and Parasite brings back the family dynamic, brings back Song Kang-ho, brings back a whole thing where they have to fight this parasite, maybe? The trailer doesn't give you anything.
Is there a fantastical element? I thought it was just they're a poor family that are trying to glom onto a rich family in order to kind of survive. Because there's lots of shots of them not being able to get Wi-Fi, bills being unpaid, running low on stuff. Whereas this other family, their entire, like their garden is bigger than their entire place of living.
The feel of it is very us. Mm. And I'm excited for that.
So hopefully it'll come here for cinemas. And not just on Netflix.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorites, actually. He's just really, really fun and weird, and he plays with genre, and he's just a good storyteller. Yeah. I recently rewatched Snowpiercer, and it was better than I recalled.
Yeah, somehow.
And so, yeah, kind of excited.
Yeah, and I think sort of the other thing coming out of Cannes is that Quentin Tarantino's latest, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is getting some really interesting rave reviews.
Yeah, but unfortunately he sent a letter. Well, I mean, it's not unfortunately. Reviewers shouldn't be giving away secrets anyway, but he sent a letter out saying, please don't reveal anything that will ruin future audiences' enjoyment of the film.
Interestingly, Bong Joon-ho did the exact same thing, wrote a letter as well, but his wasn't terrible to read, like Quentin Tarantino's was. Bong Joon-ho was very kindly saying, please don't spoil it. We want everyone to experience it for the first time, which is very true. But Quentin Tarantino goes, don't do it, guys.
Quentin Tarantino has kind of been reveling in his I have a lot of attitude phase now for quite a long time. Yeah.
Way too long.
I think it's interesting the way you put it, Bahi, when you said, interestingly, it's getting rave reviews.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a movie that has been pretty saddled with controversy even before it came out, even before the trailers came out.
Yeah.
Just from the time that people realized that Quentin Tarantino, of all people, was making a movie about, of all people, Sharon Tate. And it's just, I get why he's the right filmmaker, but there are also 1,000 reasons why he's the wrong one to do it.
Yeah, and I think I personally am going to have to hold my judgment with this, because there was a long Vanity Fair article that came out last week that interviewed sort of Quentin Tarantino, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Brad Pitt together, where they talked about what essentially the movie is about. I don't know if it's a Sharon Tate and Charles Manson movie. I feel like it's very much about Leonardo DiCaprio's sort of waning stardom. And him trying to then fight back for any sense of relevance. And I think that's what the film's about. So I'm interested to see it. Tarantino's not one of my favorite directors. He's not even one of my liked directors. I just think he tells really interesting stories.
From what it sounds like, they're using the Tate murder as the kind of the milieu of the time. I think there was an article that talked about referring to a news piece from the Times saying that was a kind of event that ended the 60s. Even though what it was like, that was the end of the fun times. That's when reality kind of took hold. And it seems to be that's what he's working on. I think you mentioned when we were talking about it off mic that it's 3 days. It's 2 days in a row and then another day a month or two later.
Yeah. So that's what the movie's about.
Tying through these different things. It is interesting to see, I think the trailer opens with Al Pacino and Leonardo DiCaprio in a scene, and Leonardo DiCaprio seems to be the one overacting. I mean, they've given him this weird character to play, this Rick Dalton guy, and he seems to be doing a funny voice. I don't know how that's going to play.
Yeah.
I have no thoughts about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I wasn't excited when I saw the news of it. I watched the trailer. I was like, okay. It's Quentin Tarantino. He has all this power and he can get whoever he wants in his film. It's going to be as big a budget as he wants. It's going to work in some way. People are going to like it. I have to watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to probably not like myself for watching it.
Really? It's,
I don't know, Quentin Tarantino just has that effect because his movies are like candy. Mm. You know, on a just purely visual level, they're fun to watch. They're like shiny and slick. Yeah. They're funny. The scripts are always Tarantino-esque. It's talk, 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 talk. So there are lots of fun things to like about Quentin Tarantino. And then after that, you revisit and you're like, I feel dirty.
For me, his movies are not worth revisiting.
Really?
For me, yeah.
Not even Pulp Fiction?
No.
Wow.
You watch it, you get it out of the way, and you're done.
Oh.
I can't get through Hateful Eight.
I haven't got through Hateful Eight yet myself. But I can rewatch Pulp Fiction over and over and over again. I just think there's so much in it.
I get bored.
I feel the same about Inglourious Basterds, to be honest.
Same, yeah. Mm.
I'm excited to review this film with you guys, though, because it's like it's a very varied room. So we'll see what happens. We are talking about movie snacks today, more specifically trailers and news that we find interesting. Up next, we continue our conversation and also go through some of the feedback that we've been getting lately. You are listening to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone. It is Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian, Bahe, and Julian. Today, it is Movie Snacks, where we're talking about news and we're talking about trailers that we've been finding interesting. Earlier, we talked about Bong Joon-ho and the Cannes Film Festival. Also kind of staying within the Cannes theme has been the fact that Quentin Tarantino is like Lord of the World once again with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What next has caught your eye?
Well, going from the artistic to the fantastic, they finally dropped a trailer for Terminator Dark Fate, which is produced by James Cameron but directed by Tim Miller, and it's the sixth film in the Terminator series.
Who are you?
My name is Sarah Connor. Never seen one like you before. Almost human.
I am human. Why do you care what happens to her?
Because I was her.
How do we win?
We win by keeping you alive.
They're ignoring everything after Terminator 2 Judgment Day, which I think could work. Watching the trailer the first time, like, there's an awful lot of nanomachines and polymimetic metal alloy, and you're like, we've done this so many times. Like, they never were able to come up with something to get better than the Terminator and Terminator 2. Genesis, Salvation, Judgment Day, they were all meh.
Yeah, you've obviously given this a lot more thought than I have.
I like the Terminator movies.
I really don't care.
Really?
I mean, look, after Genesis and all Salvation and Burger King, whatever it is called, I just don't care anymore about Terminator.
Does it not capture anything about what the original 1 and 2 had, though? Because the reason why it's made it up to this point, aside from the fact that everyone wants to make money, is also that the first two were really kind of something, you know? Like they were really formative movies for a lot of people, like including me when I was a kid. Terminator was insane. And then, you know, we had to study it in university as like an example of sci-fi cinema. And I want to get it, but at the same time, I think I'm more excited about it because of the past, which is a bad reason.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think they might be playing with that nicely in a way, in that the people who seem to be from the future, it's not an actual, the savior this time is not a reprogrammed Terminator. It seems to be a woman who's been upgraded. And Linda Hamilton turns up and no one knows who she is. She's no longer the mother of the savior of mankind. So that's interesting. I think there's an article with an interview with Cameron saying, all that they were able to do on Judgment Day was kick the can further down the road. Judgment Day always happens. They kind of came up with this in the previous movies as well. But like, she's not, like, the people from the future don't know who Sarah Connor is. That could give us an interesting way in. We do see an irony in this, but there's no John Connor. So, you know, maybe John just became a World of Warcraft troll in his bedroom and, you know, slipped on a can of Doritos and just died. And that was the end of his future. And now a new future has replaced it.
Man, you guys, we are using the word interesting a lot in today's show, and I'm not sure how much of it has
is
been.
Is it though?
Yeah,
is
you know,
it, is
like,
it though?
Things are interesting.
Yeah.
Up next, another thing that looks somewhat interesting, it is the nightingale.
I'll sell my rock, I'll sell my reel.
You know what it's like to have a white fella take everything you have, don't you?
I'm not your boy. I'm Mangana, the blackbird.
I wish in vain.
You white ones go fast, fast, fast. Get nowhere. I go slow.
I wish I had my love again. Suddenly, she was free.
Yeah, so this is the trailer from Jennifer Kent, who's the director of The Babadook. And it's an Irish convict immigrant in Tasmania who something bad happens to her and her growing family by the looks of things.
Something bad meaning colonialism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gets colonialism again, I guess, from an Irish perspective. You already had it at one set. And she teams up with an Aboriginal to hunt down the people who have, you know, wronged her. It just looks like dark and gritty and horrifying, and all the pull quotes in the trailer are about it being haunting, and I am there for it. It looks really, really interesting. And after The Babadook, I'll watch anything that she does. If I can describe it to you shortly, it's basically Tasmanian Revenant, in a way.
Has anyone here seen The Tracker?
No.
Okay, so The Tracker is an Australian film that basically what happens is when you have an Aboriginal man in Australia accused of murdering a white woman, three white men hunt him down with the help of someone called the Tracker, who is basically an Aboriginal man kind of working with doing his job in order to do that. And it is also all those things. It is also haunting and beautiful and really scarring, actually, as an experience to watch. And I'm just wondering how much of the nightingale is going to have those elements, because there's a tracking element to it as well, right, with an Aboriginal person.
Part of me is wondering if the nightingale just feels a little more leaning into the horror element of it, or at least the thriller element of it, whereas it looks like it feels more like The Searchers, where they have to go through this thing and they're looking for someone.
This kind of look, I mean, it's very dark and gritty, and like The Revenant is a visual calling stone as well, because it does have like the woman covered in blood and soldiers running away and all very grey. I think it reminds me of The Witch a little bit as well. So it has that grey washed out tones to it. So I don't think anyone's going to come out of this movie smelling of roses, but it might be a very haunting, as they say, trip.
I mean, just from the synopsis alone, I think it's going to move away from The Tracker just because it's a revenge film. And I think it's not going to be full on horror like The Babadook was. I think it's going to be full on just thriller. It's going to be dark and terrifying. I think you're going to have to, you know, sit with your fists clenched, and it's going to be good.
All right. So those are just some of the trailers that we have that have been out and that we're kind of excited by. Although we did also want to devote a little bit of time in this show to look at listener feedback. So this is a run through. We're so sorry we don't manage to get to these while we're actually on air. I think we just get carried away. But just looking through the recent runs of what we had. So let's start with Aladdin. We asked you during that show what else you'd like to see remade. Vivienne says someone should remake Transformers, the animated film of 1986. Nesh says redo The Spawn. Guys, thoughts on either Transformers or The Spawn?
Yes, on both counts for me.
The Spawn is Spawn, right?
Spawn, yeah.
Yeah,
Spawn.
Todd McFarlane's Spawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're trying to redo that actually at present, but McFarlane might be walking from it.
Really?
Yeah, they were going to do it darker and like not have it a superhero-y element to it. Transformers the movie, it's like, who needs that actual, you know, pain and suffering in their life again and killing off all those toys? I don't think they're as beloved now as they were then.
I don't need any more Transformers. They should just stop. Fully, just please stop.
It's time for a GoBots movie.
Anyway.
Okay, moving on. We did also receive an anonymous message, including a voice note, saying, guys, I am a very happy listener so far, but I did not enjoy your comments on Aladdin. It is all right to have your own opinion, but it was not okay to talk down on a good movie. It took them time to make that cartoon come to life. And then our listener also sent a voice note.
I feel like you guys really talked down upon Jasmine, where they actually tried to put Jasmine in a very strong and female character, to really put Jasmine in that time zone. You gotta remember that that was back then in that time in Agrabah, and you can't just say, oh, they didn't portray the female character as much as they said they would. Because imagine that time at that place at that moment in Agrabah. They're trying to put it in reality. You watched that movie when you were so young and stop patronizing it. I felt like this segment was a bit painful for those who are, you know, like, put effort and sweat for this movie, and you say it's just following the movie, original movie. Yes, that's the point. It's to bring awareness for children. They're 2000, they're brats, so they're just bringing it out for them to see in real life.
Okay, so you guys are going to have to respond to that, because I didn't actually and still have not watched Aladdin. But I will say that I thought that it's perfectly fine to have an opinion if that opinion includes disliking a film. Mm. That's where I'm sitting. But how would you respond?
When it comes, we've disagreed on movies before. We don't always agree. I was surprised we all actually agreed on Aladdin. It was just so rote. I mean, all they're doing is transferring it into live action. And you kind of have to question the reasons why. It is just to make money primarily. But because you are, even if you're not familiar with those movies or you try to take it on their own grounds, it still just comes off as lazy and not that entertaining.
I don't know. I love the Disney film. I love the original. I cannot describe how much I love Disney, but it just felt like it wasn't enough. And yeah, those, I don't know, that's an opinion. And I know that a lot of people enjoy it, and that's super great, because Disney remakes are finally, people are finally enjoying them. So, which is at Disney, so.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, this is what we're asked to do. We're asked to give our opinions on a film. Mm. We may not like it, you may like it, and that's fine. I think at the end of the day, that's the point of these shows. We're conversations, right? It's our opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry you don't agree with us. Actually, I'm not even sorry you don't agree. I'm glad you don't agree with us, because that's the point. The point of what we do is we will give our opinion, we give our thoughts. We will look up the budgets. We will look up the... who are the makers? We will look up the. We will go through the whole thing about whitewashing and person of color, and all, we will do all that for you, and we'll give our opinions. If you don't agree with it, that's fine.
And I think most importantly of all, thank you for taking the time to send that through. Mm. Like we said, it's a conversation. Yeah. I think the important thing is, if you disagree, do let us know.
Let us know. Mm.
We welcome it. You can tweet us at SkipIntroMY, at us all you want. You can also write us at movies@bfm.my. Of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Just very, very quickly on the subject of remakes, we two more messages. One from Fung saying, Mary Poppins Returns, not exactly a remake, but kind of a disappointment. Hard disagree.
Yeah.
As Ooh. Well as Tae Soo Ying, who says, A Star is Born, it was a remake that was done well.
Yeah, I disagree on Mary Poppins. I found it completely charmless, the remake. I didn't like it at all, and I love the original.
I loved Emily Blunt in the role. I will forever defend it. It was a beautiful piece of perfection to end the year. And you see, anonymous listener, this is the point of disagreement.
I haven't seen it. You're better off.
Julian?
I'm 50-50.
Oh.
I need like a 10-minute thing on why I like and dislike Mary Poppins Returns.
I get that. I understand that. But also, it's not a remake. It's a sequel.
Yeah.
So keep those messages coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY, as we said, and write us movies@bfm.my. You've been listening today to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.